going to just jump right into this. Heavenly Father, have your way. Have your way this morning. And you know what your people need, and I know what you've spoken to my heart. Help me to convey it in a way that they can receive something from you. We surrender to the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, have your way. Have your way. Help those that are distracted or burdened or struggling to be able to turn that off and get something tangible from you, Heavenly Father, to just be touched by you, by your truth, and empowered by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. So we're going to mainly just be in 1 John. A while back, I was listening to Bot Radio at work, which I do a lot. I love Bot Radio, and it's the Christian radio. And it was either John MacArthur or another one of those pretty mature, well-known pastors. He said something. He said, you know, if you've never read 1 John until 1 John reads you, I want to challenge you to do that. Just read 1 John every day or as much of it as you can every day. If you don't get through it, he said, and just let it get into your spirit that is within you. And so I just kind of took that as for whatever reason, when I heard that, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to do that. And so almost all this message is really going to come out of 1 John. And so we'll just jump right in. And I didn't put a lot of notes up there. If you need to write stuff down, go ahead. I'm not really following too much of an outline. I've got some highlights. I won't lie. Here's kind of my notes. They're kind of jumbled. But I really just felt like the Lord was going to guide this. I've put a lot of preparation into this. And I felt like each time that I was kind of running through this, the Lord said, I'm going to give you what you need that day. You're going to share what I want you to share that day. So we're going to start by just reading 1 John chapter 1, 1 through 4. And we're going to talk a little bit about testimony and what it is to have a testimony and what it is to testify. So we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom you have heard and seen, the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen, we saw him with our own eyes, touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. He is the one who is life itself, whose life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And we now testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. And he was with the Father, and he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you that we ourselves have actually seen and heard what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so you may fully share in our joy. And I think actually the next part of part 5:2, this is the message we've heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. For those of you that know what I do, I'm in law enforcement, and I won't belabor that point too much, but has anybody in here ever had to actually testify in the court of law? Okay. And so that's a big part of my job, and I've had to testify many times, and oftentimes I go to a situation and I do my very best to get the facts as clearly as possible and decipher out what I can so that I can write a report that I may later have to testify to. And trust me, I've taken my whippings when I haven't done a very good job of that, and they've hired a really good attorney, and I had to get on the stand, and they've shown the holes in my testimony. And as I read these first few verses of 1 John, I realized what's really going on here is John and a group, probably some other apostles, he's testifying. He's giving a testimony. Almost, I can see him sitting on a stand in front of a jury and a judge, and he's saying, this is the truth. This is how I see this. And the words that he uses in this, This is why it really got solidified in me. This is why everybody that really digs into apologetics, and so many people that have set out to disprove the Bible, they get to passages like this and they can't, because this is such a rock solid, undeniable testimony. Anybody that you can put on the stand and they can say, this is what I've seen, this is what I've heard, this is what I've touched with my own eyes, with these two hands. This is the message that John is conveying right now about the truth of what he's saying about Jesus Christ. It really kind of rocked me to my core a little bit, because I was like, is that my testimony? We'll come back to that. So it was just so powerful. And as a result of that, he jumps into verse 5 and he says, so this is what I declare. It just gave me a little Pastor Brent jiggle in my leg. Good, I got a little laughter. We're going to jump ahead now, because I don't want to belabor this too much. The testimony, I feel like the second part I want to get spend more time there. But we're going to go to 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 and 15 now. I've got that marked here, and I don't know. Oh, they are putting them up there. Thank you. I believe I skipped past it here. Nope, I didn't go far enough. Got into my other one. Here we go. And God has given us a spirit of proof that we live in him. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes. And now testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And all who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them and live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we've put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. I'm sorry, I've added a few to my notes that may be up there. So John and the writers of this come back to this whole concept again, once again. Furthermore, this is why this is so solid. I just want to drive that point home before I move on. Here he is back in chapter 4 and says, once again, my beloved. And he's writing this to a church that's having a lot of turmoil, actually. It's having a lot of division and a little backstory. I probably didn't research as much as it is, but he's writing this to a church that's going through a lot of turmoil. They're probably starting to question really who they are in Christ and some of the truths that they have. And he says, I have seen with my very own eyes. And here is the truth. And I testify, I declare once again to you that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And then he says, all who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them. And this is the point where he's putting it in their lap. And he says, what's your testimony? What do you confess about Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? And if you get put on the stand and have to declare, who is Jesus to you? We'll jump to one more passage on this. As you can see, this really got deep down into my soul. It just really, let's go to 1 John 5, 4 to 12. It's much easier to just let God's word preach instead of me trying to make up my own nonsense. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And we can win the battle against the world. Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus was revealed as God's Son by his baptism in water and by the shedding of blood on the cross, not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit, who is truth, confirms it is his testimony. So we have these three witnesses, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the water, which we associate with baptism. That's why it's so important for you to be baptized. And the blood, the precious, precious blood that our Savior shed on that cross. And all three of these agree. Since we believe human testimony, Since we believe human testimony, that's what we're talking about till this point, is human testimony. My testimony, these apostles' testimony, the things like physically putting somebody on the stand. But John, he takes it to the next level right here. He takes it to the ultimate level. Since we believe human testimony, surely we can believe the greater testimony that comes from God. And God himself has testified about his Son. All who believe in the Son of God in their hearts, all who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that his testimony is true. And those who don't believe are actually calling God a liar, because they don't believe that God has what God has testified about his Son. And this is what God has revealed. He has given us eternal life through his Son. Whoever has a Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. So he took this to the ultimate level, and he's talking about his testimony and who they knew Jesus was. But then he takes it and he says, here's what the creator of all that ever is and ever was says about Jesus. And if you can't believe my testimony, this is his testimony. This is the ultimate testimony. This is the ultimate king of all kings. And you can put him on any stand in any courtroom that you want, and this will hold truth. And he says, and I have sealed it by the spirit that I have put in by you and the baptism that I want you to do in the blood on that cross. And there is no higher testimony. And when I got to this point after I read this so many times, I had to just stop and just take some time and say, this is our good, good, gracious God revealing truths about him and how much he loves us, and really dumbing it down into a way that we can understand it, that our brains can comprehend this, so we can accept it and live by it and stand on it as our ultimate, ultimate, ultimate truth. I hope none of you have ever had any bad experiences testifying. I unfortunately have. But I can tell you some things as we start to wrap up this portion of the testimony. We're going to move into the second part of this message, where I want to spend significantly more time. I have had some bad experiences testifying, and partially it was is because I didn't have as many facts as I wanted, and I certainly wasn't passionate and strong in my answers, which made me look very weak and less believable. And the convicting part about that is, kind of to really wrap this part up, is what would be my testimony truthfully if I was put on the stand and question, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? And it's not this idea where if I was a theologian and knew the Bible in and out and back and forth, like many, many well-read people do, you can find the person of Jesus in Genesis all the way to Revelation. He's there. And you could get on the stand and you could say, well, at this chapter in this place right here in Genesis, and and you could still stand in front of a jury. You could still stand in front of a group of your peers and a judge and say, yeah, but you don't believe it. You just know it. And they would sniff you out in an instant, because they would know you've got it here, but not here. And what the Lord convicted me of, and what I want to share with you is what we really need to do is, what's your testimony about Jesus that's in your soul, that's in your heart? Who is he to you? Are you passionate? Would you be believable? Would you be consistent? These are the things that make a testimony rock solid. This is what a prosecutor's looking for. When they interview me a little bit before they're going to go and put me in front of the judge or the grand jury, those are the things that I want to think. Is what I'm saying believable? Am I consistent? Passionate? am I going to be able to look you right in the eye and say, this is the facts as I know them to be true? Let that be our testimony. Here's kind of the litmus test and where we're going to go with the rest of this message. I think it's right at the end of chapter 1, maybe stepping into a little bit of chapter 2. John talks about, you know, he talks about that he's writing to God's children. They've been forgiven. It won't be up there. I apologize for that. This kind of came in later part of the message is more of my transition. And then he talks about those that are young in the faith. They've won their battle. And then he talks about those that are mature in the faith. And something stood out to me. I'm writing to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ. Not that you know about Christ. Not that you've heard some stories about Christ. There's a direct link to your maturity in the faith and how well and intimately you know Christ your Savior. That is directly connected, I believe, the result of this. That's kind of a litmus test, and I think your testimony about that is just a way, you can see where you're at with the Lord. There's a direct link to that and how much you're letting the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you in your day-to-day walk with life. What you feel about, how you feel about Jesus, what you would testify about Jesus is going to reveal what he really means to you, and what he really means to you is directly connected to how much you're going to let the Holy Spirit truly have control of your life. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe that link was made. I believe that's one of the things that John made. I won't exactly spend too much time belaboring how I got there. But I realized that this is where this really ties to what happened this morning. Let us be led by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it can be very difficult at times. It can be very difficult for our brains to accept this. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, 26 and 27. This is very practical. This is Jim Waldrop 101 right here. I'll read it. Oh, can you go back to that previous one, please? Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers you a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, for the pride of our achievements, possessions. These are not from the Father, but from the world. How does that have to do with the Holy Spirit? Well, this is the connection that I made through these verses. This is what your flesh wants. Flesh 101. You want to know what your flesh wants? Now, take heed is what it's real saying, because this is not a house of shame. This is not a house I'm not trying to guilt you. This does not say physical pleasure is bad. This does not say possessions are bad. It doesn't say achievements are bad. What it says is when your driving force, when it consumes you, when that's what you are all about, that's the problem. Here's where it connects to the Holy Spirit. These are the areas in your life where the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, where the Holy Spirit is challenging you, where the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, this doesn't quite line up. There's things in the life that, in my life, that the Holy Spirit has set me free of. There's a point in my life where if I didn't have a good workout that day, it just could not be a good day. Is working out bad? No. But what was working out to me? It was an idol. It was a thing that I felt like I needed to function well. And I know a lot of people that will justify that. And I go to the CrossFit gym and that's their world. That's who they are. It's what's to be expected until you come to know Jesus. I've been set free from that. I truly have been set free from not only do my work, can I go through the day without having a workout and be okay, I can have a workout scheduled for that day and other things can come, can pop onto my plate and I can reevaluate and say, okay, here's my order of priorities. My relationship with my Heavenly Father, my family, workout, work, those type of things. Do I need to bump my workout because it's interfering with one of those? And I can do that. There's a new freedom in that. I haven't given up working out, but it will not control me and it will not prevent me from doing the things that are more importantly. That's what this is talking about, to not belabor that too much. That's what the Holy Spirit, on a very practical level, that is living within you because of who Jesus is and what he did, those are the things that he wants to deal with in your life. It's very practical. It's nuts and bolts. It's very easy. There's feelings. There's emotions. Sometimes I literally have to say, okay, Lord, this is what I'm feeling. This is your truth. Jesus, have your way. If that's all that you can do, that is a powerful, powerful moment in your life. Holy Spirit, guide me. That will be the next one. Because when things don't line up and when you're feeling stressed, pressured, tired, whatever, whatever, this is where you're going to go. This is where you're going to run. You're going to run to those cravings that you have just because you still walk in an earth suit. Let's jump to 1 John chapter 2. Did we start? I think I told you wrong, didn't I? I'm so sorry. I think I didn't change it in my notes, but I think we're now going to go to 26 and 27. I changed the order on you a little bit. Yeah, I am writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray, but you have received the Holy Spirit who lives within you, so you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. Okay, here's the deal. This is not a scripture that says, I don't need the church, I don't need the body, I'm never going to listen to another one of Pastor Brent's sermons. Sean's sermons are too long and too wordy, I don't need those. I've got the Holy Spirit. Wrong. What this is saying is that if you will submit and you will surrender and you will allow the Holy Spirit that God has sealed your salvation with, he will show you what is truth for you. The Holy Spirit that was within you when you listen to Pastor Sean's message is going to say, oh boy, I need to hold on to what he just said. And I'll give you a prime example. I'm over here, Sean's preaching, I'm doing my thing because I'm a weirdo. I'm probably stretching. And Sean said something in his last sermon that I'll never forget because this is me 101. He said, to just break it down, I won't say as elegant, he said, you need to stop judging your day by the outcomes, by the circumstances, but by the seeds that you sow. I was like, whoa! Stolen from Pastor Sean. I'm telling you, you want some good advice to live by? Judge, when you put your head on the pillow, judge your day by the seeds that you sown. Did you sow seeds from the spirit that's within you? Then it doesn't matter what happened that day. And it doesn't matter what you're reaping from your decisions that weren't so great 5 years ago. God is going to be faithful to what you sow today. That's what I'm talking about, living by the Holy Spirit. Gives me a little leg shake again. Shouldn't do that. All right. How are we doing? Are we doing okay on time? I don't want to run too long. I don't have my phone and I want to be okay. So this is where worship this morning was so powerful. And I know some of you were freaked out, okay? For you new people, we want the Holy Spirit to move in this church. And I know people get really weird by tongues. And I'll talk about that a little bit more because tongues are one of those things where we got to tell the brain to shut up and let the Spirit move. And I know there's good order, and I know this. I have no issues with Pastor Brent did it because he's just singing in tongues. We're just worshiping in tongues. If somebody gets up like I am and gives a specific word to the body in tongues, we need to interpret that the way I understand the body. If somebody stands up here and just sings a song as a part of worship that the Lord has raised up in them, we're fine. We're fine. If you differ than that, that's okay. Our heart is to have good order in this church. We've established things. It's extremely important to us as the elders and the spiritual leaders, but we are going to let the Holy Spirit have their way. And that's going to make us uncomfortable at times. It's just the way it is. We are going to let King Jesus do what he wants to do by the move of his Spirit in this house. That's a core belief of the elders of Destiny. Have your way, Jesus, and let your Spirit move. So that was beautiful, is what happened this morning. It was absolutely beautiful. And if it's the first time you experience that, and you're like, you guys are crazy, just let the Lord, just get in the Word of God and open your heart to the Heavenly Father. That's all I'll say about it. I'll shut up about it. Just trust the Lord with it. Leave it in His hands. Okay. Did we do our last scripture? I can't even remember now. 1 John 4:1-6. All right, who is this guy? Okay, I got it here. If you don't have it there, I'll just read it. I liked reading it off of there. Do we have 1 John 4:1-6? You guys do an amazing job on the media. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. Here we go. Oh, there's 1 John. Okay, dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them and see if the Spirit they have comes from God, for there are many false prophets in the world. Next. No, next. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. That's a litmus test right there. That's a check. That's a check. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about God, about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard is coming into the world and is already here. But you belong to God, my dear children. You've already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit that lives in this world. We should not be walking around like we're defeated foes. We absolutely should. No matter what your circumstances are, your physical health is, your situation at work, your situation with your spouse, you are not a defeated foe if the Spirit of God is within you. That is a fact. You belong to God, my children. You've already won your battle. I think we went on to the next one. I read that. The Spirit of those people belong to this world, so they speak from the world. We shouldn't get so mad when they just speak from who they are. That's what they are. The world listens to them. Of course the world's going to listen to them, because what sometimes you're going to say and do, and somebody that doesn't know Jesus walks in that door and we're speaking in tongues, they're going to think we're nuts. And that's not what we want. But you know what also they're going to do? They're going to feel a supernatural peace, presence, calmness that they will not be able to explain. And their brain's going to be going like, these guys are nuts, but the spirit that was in them is going to be like, there's something here. There is something there. If they do not belong to God, they listen. If they did belong to God, they would listen to us. That's how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. So for those of you that don't believe that there's prophets and all the apostolic type of stuff or the gifts of the Holy Spirit, this is very clear about somebody that claims to be a prophet. If there weren't prophets anymore, he could have very easily said, squash that, there's no more prophets, there's no more prophesying, God's done with that, we don't need that anymore, some people want to preach that. You know why I think they want to preach that? Because they can't get past this pile of mush in their head and turn this mush off and allow this to truly flow. We get stuck in our heads, especially us men. We're thick-headed, and as soon as things get uncomfortable and weird and goofy, we're like, it can't be from God. That's what your brain is screaming. But your spirit's saying, tell that brain to just take a chill pill and let me move. Trust me in this. Watch my hand move. Know that I am God and I am good. So that's where I'm going to wrap this up. I don't even know what time it is, but I'm going to give a few examples of this. So it's easy to follow the spirit that's within us. And I've probably already said this, when it accepts up, when it lines up with things that, you know, that seem normal. And oftentimes the Holy Spirit, he's not just some goofy, weird, wanting to make you look like an idiot in front of all your peers and family and friends. There's many times he's going to prompt you to do things that would seem very normal and logical. You can be at the grocery store and the Holy Spirit can just say, hey, this lady in front of you is struggling, just pay for their groceries. You're like, I can barely afford my groceries, Lord. But those I mean, is that really that big of a deal? No. That's just an opportunity to be obedient. That's not, those can be easier for us to follow. Those can be easier for us to obey. And oftentimes, that's how things will work. When you get a situation where it's like, oh, if I just lied about this, if I just lied about this, everything would just, I don't really need to tell my wife. I could just kind of hide this or lied about this. It's just going to keep everything greater and more peaceful. And hogwash. Hogwash. And you know it's hogwash in the spirit. But to just come forth and do it, it really isn't probably as big a deal as you're going to make it. And it's a good thing. And you don't even necessarily have to be spirit-filled for somebody to give you that advice to do it. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's not always goofy, hokey, trying to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's not always, oftentimes it's very practical and down to earth, just like my prayer early. Here's what I'm struggling with. I surrender to you, Jesus. Have your way. Holy Spirit, guide me. Holy Spirit, guide me. That is powerful, powerful, powerful prayer, because it just puts us in line with where. Here's where it gets weird. Here's where it gets weird is when the Holy Spirit's like, this is what I want you to do. Here's a big example in my life, and it's going to lead to how I'm going to close my message. Give me grace, God. There's things in our life that the Holy Spirit's going to lead you to do. They're going to challenge you on. He's going to push you beyond where you think you want to go for your own good. And he's so loving when he does it. He's so gracious when he does it. And it's that situation where the Lord has set you free from whatever, this food addiction. But it's been a really long week. And you know, and you're tired, and you're hungry, and Culver's is closing in 10 minutes. And you're like driving by, and you can smell it. But you know that the Lord has set you free from this, and the Spirit's like, just trust me, trust me, trust me. But your brain is just screaming. Maybe this isn't the best example of this, but I'll finish this one. I'll give you a better one. Your brain is just screaming, because I want you to understand this about the goodness of God. Your brain is just screaming. If you don't go turn into that Culver's parking lot right now, we're going to die. I mean, that's what your brain is basically going to try to convince you. And the Holy Spirit's like, no, tell him to shut up. You're not going to die. But anyway, here's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. So you cave. You go in. You go through that thing. You get your food. It's so good. Got ahead of ourselves. That's going to be powerful. I might melt right there just hearing that. Woo! I might melt right there. But here's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. I had a similar experience to this, and it wasn't with food. It was with something personal that I struggle with. And I felt, you just feel so terrible after you go there. And the Holy Spirit, here's the grace of God in the Holy Spirit. He says, I never left you. And I wanted to avoid you from that trap. And I tried to keep you out of that trap. But if you're going to go there, I'm going there with you. And when you're ready to come out of it, I'm going to carry you back out of it. Because of the grace and the blood of that cross. It's not by what you do. And my love has never changed. That's what'll cause change in your life. That's what'll allow you to be a different person and overcome the things in your life that have controlled you, that you despise. It's only by that grace and mercy and prompting of that Holy Spirit. And then he gave me a scripture to stand on. I wish I would have got years ago at this last men's retreat. And it has set me free from things in my life just by reading it daily and standing on the truth of it. It's beautiful, and it's powerful, and it's spirit-led. Okay, here's where it gets weird. Then we'll wrap it up. Then you can cue up that song. So here's another situation where it gets really weird. Lord tells you to pray in tongues. For me, it was, you know, I got a million things going on. The Lord says, I want you to round up some of your buddies and go to the hills and just spend time with me. Stay there all night. And I'm like, well, I got a lot going on, Lord. Just a couple hours. Is that cool? Can we just, and the Spirit's like, no, no. And I told the guys at our round table on Tuesday morning this, I go to specific places in the hills to spend time with the Lord. They're so beautiful. His creation is so wonderful, as you understand, sir. It's so amazing to get out there. And every time I feel like the Lord prompts me to go out there, as I'm preparing to do that, my brain kicks in and says, this is a waste of time. You've got so many other things you should be doing. It's really not going to make you any closer to the Lord. Can't we just have a few 5 minutes on the couch? And I have to shut off my brain and be led by my spirit and drive to that spot. And I'll get there and I'll spend my time, and it's very practical. Some worship songs, some scriptures. Shut my big mouth and just say, Lord, what do you have to say? But then here's the next phase of that. I wish I could say to you every time it was this awestruck God moment and I come back and the Lord speaks and the ground shakes. No. Here's what happens, and here's what I've discovered. As that act of obedience, I'm leaving. Guess what happens? Big old ball of mush kicks in again and says, well, that was a total waste of time. You didn't feel anything. God probably didn't change a thing. You just wasted 3 hours of your day. You got a to-do list that's not getting done. And you're out here just sitting on a rock by the creek thinking you're spending time with God. Those are the thoughts that will go through my head. But I'll take those captive once again, and I'll say, no, 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 no. And here's what I promise you. Here's what I promise you. It's rare that I get the results of that encounter that right after it, but I've never, ever done it where it hasn't been within a few weeks or a few days where I see the heaven, where I physically know. One time it was like 3 days later, and I'm sitting in my spot in the morning, and I just got this overwhelming sense, and it crushed me because the Heavenly Father just spoke directly to my spirit. He says, I so enjoy those times that you dedicate to me beyond you will ever know, beyond what you can ever understand. Just give them to me. That's what I'm talking about, and that will change your life. That will change your identity. It will change who you are, and it'll change what you believe. And years ago, I would do these interpretive dances for the Lord. And I have to confess that for whatever reason, I think I got embarrassed. And I talked myself out of it. Because the Lord, every now and then, I don't know why, every now and then I hear a song and movements just come to me. They just come to me. And I don't even think about it. The Lord says, that's for me. And so he gave me one. And I fought with him for weeks. And I said, I ain't doing it, Lord. And basically, he said, then you better just basically hang up your message. Because if you're not going to get on that stage and let the Holy Spirit have his way and let me do my thing, it's not about you. My people need to see this. Do it for me. So here we are. Here we are. You may think it's goofy. Sometimes I think it is. But this is truly just an act of obedience to Heavenly Father.